The following audio is the weekly message podcast from Vaughn Forest Church, Montgomery, Alabama. To learn more about Vaughn Forest Church, visit us online at vaughnforest.com.
Good morning. Glad to see you. Welcome to week two of Financial Freedom. So glad you're here today. Today is all about living debt free. In fact, at the end of our service today, we're going to do a drawing, and we as a church are going to pay $1,000 down towards someone's debt. So we're going to go ahead and receive these cards. Let me ask our ushers, grab a basket and pass them down. And if you want to participate, you don't have to, this isn't required, but if you would like to be a part of the drawing at the end of the service, just fill this out. You can drop it in the basket when it passes by, and we will be doing our drawing at the end of the service. While they are collecting those, let me draw your attention to a couple of things in your bulletin. There's a flyer for our wild game dinner. Guys, this is for you, kind of an annual event for men, and it's coming up on Thursday, February 20th. 6 o'clock here at the church. You can purchase a ticket online. You can purchase a ticket in the lobby. And let me say a little bit about the speaker this year, Joel Goddard. A friend of mine, I've known Joel for over 20 years now. He's been a friend, really more of a mentor to me, a little older than me. And he's just kind of been a presence in my life, really, since I was a high school student. And I was fortunate to get to work with him at a church for 4 years over in the metro Atlanta area, Bethlehem Church, where he serves as the worship pastor. He also preaches there from time to time as well. And all I can tell you about Joel, gentlemen, is you want to be here. He's going to have a story to tell. He's going to tell us something about what God's doing in his life, and it's going to be awesome. And he really knows how to connect well with men. So if you've got men, neighbors, coworkers, friends, and you know, coming to church, they don't always think that would be something they would be interested in doing. This would be a great event to invite them to. They're going to get to hear the gospel. They're going to have to get to have some fun. And even if this isn't your thing, maybe if you're not like a big hunter, like I still wouldn't love to have you join us, okay? It's not like I'm a big hunter, but I'm going to come. We're going to have fun. We're going to eat some good food. We're going to get to hang out, have a great time, hear from Joel. So that's coming up here in just a few weeks. And then on the back, I know this has already been mentioned, but our Discover Vaughn Forest at the end of this month, a new lunch for folks who are new to Vaughn Forest. But we've been asked, hey, what if I'm not new to Vaughn Forest? I've gone here for a long time, but I'd love to come to the lunch. Is that okay? Absolutely, all right? We'd love to have you join us. In fact, we may let you help us host the lunch that day. So if you're still interested, even if you're not new, but you're like, man, I'd love to be there. I'd love to kind of see what's going on. Of course, we'd love to have you join us. You can mark that on your connection card as well. It looks like we got all of the cards collected, so that's good. Let me ask you to find your message notes inside your bulletin. We got a lot to cover, so we're going to jump right in today talking about what it means to actually live debt-free. Now, if you missed the kickoff last week of this series, let me encourage you to go back, watch it, listen to it sometime this week. We're in a five-week series. So why are we talking about money for 5 weeks? I kind of unpacked this last week, but real quick, let me give you the three reasons we're doing this series. One, stewardship is discipleship. How we manage financial resources, how we steward financial resources is a part of our spiritual growth, a part of our discipleship. Second, Jesus talked about money a lot. He talked about money more than heaven and hell combined. He talked about money more than faith. He talked about money more than prayer. And then finally, our third reason is just a practical need. I mean, a lot of people are dealing with financial stress, not financial freedom. The average household lives on 110% of its income. Money is the number one thing that married couples fight about, and over half of all divorces cite money as the reason for the divorce. And debt has always been present, but in about the last 20 to 25 years, it's become more prevalent. And it's really a topic that many of us have to deal with. And so we're taking an entire message today to just talk about that component when it comes to our finances. So let me just tell you up top, if you're a guest, if you're joining us, if you're new today, we're glad you're here. Today's message is not like our normal sermons. If you call Vaughn Forest home, let me tell you up top, today's message is not like a typical sermon where I go to a passage and I unpack that passage. What we're doing today is we're taking something that's a very real challenge in our culture, debt, and we're seeing what all of Scripture has to say about it. And my goal for this message is that if you are someone who is challenged by debt, struggling with debt, facing stress when it comes to debt, that you walk out of here today with some hope, okay? So let's jump into our notes. Let me give you some principles, and then, like I said, we'll be doing the drawing at the end of our service today. Here's the first thing to jot down in your notes. Count the cost of staying in debt. Count the cost of staying in debt. Most people don't stop to think about what their debt is actually costing them. It's not just the money, it's all the other things that could be done with the money. We're going to talk about that in the message today as well. But I did a little research this week, the cost of debt, okay? Nerd Wallet. You guys ever read Nerd Wallet? Okay, it's kind of a fun blog, but it's not like some dude living in his mom's basement writing a blog. This is like a real blog with like real research, and they give some really good financial tips, financial pointers, and kind of brief little snippets and articles, okay? Here's what Nerd Wallet said. Despite the economy improving, so the economy is improving, the unemployment rate is low. Despite all of that, credit card debt has increased more than 34% in the last 5 years. So if we just kind of said as a general rule, you know, not everybody, but people who are making maybe a little bit more money today than they did 5 years ago, what it's actually turned into is just more credit card debt, more consumption. And the challenge with credit card debt, and that's really what we're addressing today, okay? I know a lot of us might have a mortgage on our home. That's kind of a secured debt. I'm talking today about credit card debt, maybe some student loan debt, maybe a car payment or a car lease. These are usually the things that get us in trouble. But specifically with credit card debt, there's something called compounding interest. Now, high school students, let me tell you what's going to happen. You go to college. If you go to college, you don't have to go to college. But if you go to college, somebody's going to show up on your campus one day. They're going to set up a table and they go, hey, we'd love to sign you up for a free credit card. Just give us your parents' social security number. What I'm trying to tell you today is not to do that, okay? For your parents' sake and for your sake, because there's something called compounding interest, which means unless you pay off that credit card bill every single month, the balance grows. They don't tell you this in those booths at college. It grows, sometimes 23, 24%. And so the balance is growing because of compounding interest. Now, here's why this is such a problem in our society today. Forbes magazine, you've probably heard of that. According to Forbes, I want you to listen to this. This is staggering. Americans are now paying $104 billion on credit card interest every single year. Think about that. $104 billion with a B, billion dollars every single year just on the interest of what's going on credit cards. Now, let me ask you a question. What could be done by Americans with $104 billion in this world? Are there needs in this world that $104 billion could meet? Are there needs in our community and in every community that $104 billion could meet? Is there something that could be accomplished for the kingdom, locally, globally, that $104 billion could meet? But instead, that $104 billion every single year is not going to meet needs. It's going to build more buildings for Visa, Chase, American Express. Just the interest alone. And it's not often that we stop to count the cost individually, to count the cost for our society as a whole that debt is actually costing us. Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is slave to the lender. That when you are in debt, you no longer have the freedom to decide what to do with your money. Someone else is telling you what to do with your money. But until you stop and kind of just survey and count the cost of what debt is really costing you, it's going to be challenging to find the motivation to move forward and try to live debt-free. So let me give you the second one, okay? After you count the cost, here's the second step. Choose a plan, okay? Choose a plan. Stick with it. Say, I want to get out of debt. You're not alone. Don't beat yourself up. This is not a message about guilt. This is a message about hope. But if you want to get out of debt, you're going to have to find a plan. This will not happen haphazardly. You can't just kind of make it up as you go. You got to find a plan. So I'm going to give you a couple of plans today. One of them is called the debt snowball. It's created by a guy named Dave Ramsey. You may have heard of him. Does a radio show, television show. He's written some books. Dave's a follower of Jesus, and Dave takes biblical principles and puts them into a plan. It's called a debt snowball. And Dave's plan, if you're in debt, the first step is you need to put $1,000 aside, because as soon as you try to get out of debt, you're going to blow a tire or something's going to happen and there's going to be an expense and you don't want to put that on the credit card. So you got $1,000, a little emergency fund, and then you start paying off your debts one at a time. So you start with the lowest debt, and you tackle that with everything you can. And when you pay that off, then you take what you were paying for that, and you roll it into the second one, and you pay it off aggressively. And then when that one's gone, you take what you were paying that, and you roll it into your next one. And this is the snowball effect, that the longer you do this, the snowball, like rolling down a hill, kind of gains some momentum, and you're able to get out of debt. Now, if you're really trying to figure out, I need a plan, I need encouragement, I need accountability, I don't feel like I can do this alone, let me encourage you to sign up for our Financial Peace Life Group that's actually starting this Wednesday night. In fact, there's a connection card. I know it's already been mentioned today, but these are new. We're doing this new kind of every Sunday now. And what's new about it is that the next steps change every single week. Okay, so let me draw your attention to this. If that's you, I could really use some help. I don't know if I'm going to be able to tackle this on my own. You'll see that we have this third next step, Financial Peace Group, starting this Wednesday night. And this is Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace. Okay, it's helped a lot of people over the years get out of debt. The leaders who are leading the group, they're going to encourage you. They're going to help you. You're not going to have to do this alone. So if that's really where you're at, this would be a great plan, and this would be a great opportunity for you to receive encouragement with that plan. Let me also talk about the next step above that, which is a budgeting workshop, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, February 12th. Part of getting out of debt is having a good budget, sticking to it. Maybe you're like, I don't really know where to start. I've kind of got some ideas, but I could really use some help. This budgeting workshop is not an ongoing thing. It's a one-time event. So the Financial Peace Group is going to meet every Wednesday night for about 12 weeks. The budgeting workshop is a one-time deal. So many of you are already up here on the campus on Wednesday nights for your life group, but you could maybe still attend this. Just tell your life group leader, hey, I'm going to go to the budgeting workshop this week, and then you jump right back into your group the following week. So one of the things we're trying to do in this series is offer some next steps outside of this room on Sundays, so that when you come in here on Sundays, you hear some things, but then if you need maybe some extra steps to take, we're offering that for you as a church. So if you feel led to marketing those, if that's something you're interested in, you can do that. And again, we'll turn those cards in at the end of the service today. So Dave Ramsey's plan, great plan. Our Financial Peace Group is going to unpack that plan in great detail over the next 12 weeks. But in your notes, I wanted to give you another plan as well. Okay, there's multiple plans. My goal is to try to help you see maybe a plan that would work for you. So in your notes, the plan I'm going to talk about kind of breaks up income by percentage. I call it the 70-10-10-10 plan. Now, I didn't come up with this, but this is just a plan that I found that's helped a lot of people over the years. So if you're taking notes, here's the first 10%. The first 10% goes to the tithe. Now, we're talking about getting out of debt. And you just said the first 10% is supposed to go to the tithe. If you met with a financial planner who was not a Christian and did not believe in the Bible the way that those of us who are followers of Jesus believe in the Bible, he or she would still tell you, you need to learn how to be generous. It doesn't matter if we're doing research inside the church or if our culture at large is doing research. One of the things that keeps coming up over and over in the research is one of the reasons why we overspend is we don't know how to let things go. We don't know how to be generous. And so we believe when Scripture speaks of being generous, it starts here with the tithe. Now, I don't have time to go into everything about the tithe, but I am going to do that next Sunday, okay? I'm going to unpack it, and here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Be here, because I have found over the years that tithing is one of the most misunderstood things from the Bible. In fact, you may have been told some things about tithing that actually aren't true. So we're going to unpack that next week. But I wanted to share a quick passage with you that kind of shows the principle behind the idea. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. This answers the why question. So why am I supposed to put God first with my finances? Here's the answer. So he'll bless you. It's that simple. That when you trust God with your first fruits, when you put him first, we're going to see next week more promises, but even this passage gives us a promise. Your barns will overflow. God will bless the remaining 90%. Okay? And a lot of people who choose to do this, they choose to do it by automating it. They set it up as a recurring gift. I know that's what my wife and I do, and many of you do that as well, so that God gets the first fruits. We actually, our financial administrator told me just this week that last Sunday, somebody did that with their offering envelope. These new offering envelopes, they went in, and they just took like a normal check with the account number and the routing number, and they set up a recurring gift, and they did that through the offering envelope, just so that they could make sure that they were sending that first 10% to God, okay? So that's what you do with the first 10%. In your notes, here's the second 10%. The second 10% goes to debt or savings. It's just a little plan. That's all this is, okay? So if you have debt, the second 10% is going to go to pay down that debt. Now, if the number is larger than 10%, that's okay, all right? Again, the average household's living on 110% of their income, but you got to find a plan to start somewhere. Now, if you're debt-free other than your mortgage, that second 10% could go to savings. Romans 13:8, talking about the importance of getting out of debt. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. That when we carry debt, it affects us relationally as well. Why? Because it creates stress at a soul level, stress at a heart level, okay? So that's the second 10%. Here's the third 10%. The third 10% goes to savings or investments. So let's just make sure we're all kind of tracking the same way. First 10% goes to God. If you have debt, the second 10% goes towards that debt, and then the third 10% would go towards savings. If you don't have any debt, or once you're able to pay off the debt, this is when it gets fun, because the second 10% goes to savings, and that third 10% goes towards investments, long-term investments. And there's a number of ways that you could use that money. I mean, maybe a good conservative retirement account, 401k. Maybe that's a good thing to put that money towards. And here's the power of that. The same compounding interest that works against us with credit card debt works for us with investments. Most of us see compounding interest as the enemy. Compounding interest can actually be something that's a blessing, as it will grow money over time invested. And this is a really big principle that God's Word teaches, is that it's okay to plan for the future. It's okay to make wise investments in planning for the future. Proverbs 21:20, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. So the wise, they don't spend everything right when they get it. The foolish person, whatever he or she makes, they spend, okay? But the wise, they think about the future, and they plan for the future, and they invest for the future. So here's the key with this particular plan. Learn to live on 70%. Learn to live on 70%. That's the key. It's just a plan. There's the debt snowball plan. I'm sharing with you the 70-10-10-10 plan. Maybe you don't like either one of these plans. That's okay. Like, I'm just challenging you to find a plan and stick with it. And listen, this may seem overwhelming. I mean, 70-10-10-10. And honestly, that may not be where you can start. And that's okay. Like, you may sit down and look at things and go, you know, I could do like 85-5-5-5. Okay, great. Start there. You may sit down and say, I can only do 97-1-1-1. That's okay. Start there. Like, if you're living on 110% of your income, starting to live on 97%, that's a huge step. And you say, well, that's not going to do anything. A year from now, you'll wish you had started that 97-1-1-1 plan. Did I say 1 3 times? I did, okay? So it's just to get you going. And then over time, those percentages can shift. And then eventually, it might be a few years down the road. But if you get to a place where you're living on 70% of your income and these other 3 10% are doing that, you're going to begin to experience some financial freedom. And again, that's the goal with all of this. Now, let me just give you some encouragement, okay? The word behind this plan, the principle behind this plan, 70-10-10-10, debt snowball, whatever financial plan, here's the principle that has to drive it, contentment. Contentment. That we get to a place where we just say, you know what? I've got enough. I'm blessed. I don't really need to kind of just keep spending to just keep spending. I don't really need anything else. I am going to live with contentment. That's a challenging thing to do. And one of the most quoted verses in the entire Bible is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That verse has been quoted for a number of things over the years. I used to quote it when I was a kid playing baseball, hoping to get a hit. All right, that's how this verse is used a lot of times. We've used this verse for all kinds of things. It's interesting to me that the context of the verse is what we're talking about today, contentment. Let me read to you the whole content of the whole context of the verse by reading the verse in front of it as well, Philippians 4:12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need. This is Paul. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, and I can do all of this through him, through Christ, who gives me strength. Paul says, I know what it's like to have everything I need. I know what it's like to be in need. But in either situation, I can be content, not in my own strength, but through Christ who gives me strength. Here's the thing. You will never find contentment in your own strength. If you're not leaning on Jesus to provide that contentment for you, you're just going to keep living in that frustrating cycle of trying something new and it not working out. See, remember, discipleship is all about us saying, Lord, there's a step I know I need to take, but you're going to have to supply the power for me to take that step. If we were capable of taking these steps and doing it on our own, we wouldn't need the Lord's strength. We wouldn't need the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says contentment comes because of Christ. And so if that's where you are today, let me challenge you. This is the way that you're going to see Jesus show up in your life, supplying for you what you're incapable of supplying for yourself, supplying for me what my own effort will not supply, contentment. So every day, Lord, I want to be content. I've got this plan. I'm going to try to get out of debt. Lord, I'm not going to give in anymore, but I can't do it on my own strength. And the Lord says, that's right. And that's the idea, okay? So let me encourage you with that piece of contentment that you lean on the Lord. See how this actually grows you closer to God, okay? So you got to count the cost, find a plan, stick with it. And then number three in your notes, cut up the credit cards. Just cut them up, right? Get a big old pair of scissors and cut them up. I say, well, that's drastic. It is. And sometimes you got to do drastic things to get drastic changes. You just do. Like sometimes something like that is what's needed to kind of jolt the system, okay? So like I'm not saying that you have to go cut up all of your credit cards. Some of you, that may be the wisest thing you can do. But here's what I am saying. If you don't do something about this message, nothing's really going to happen. So I just need to think for a second. What is the drastic step I could take that would help me? I'm just suggesting cut up your credit cards. Because sometimes just doing something like that will help you. Let me see if I can explain like in another area, okay? So for example, in our home, we don't really have a lot of unhealthy food to eat in our house, okay? It's not because we're like some crazed, you know, health, you know, nuts and all that different kind of stuff. The reason why we don't have a lot of unhealthy things to eat in the house is because I would eat all of it, all of it. I would leave none for my children, none for my wife. I would eat all of it, okay? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's what I would do. It is easier for me to eat healthy when the only thing to eat are healthy options. That's just, now, some of you can have unhealthy food in your house. You're like, I just eat a little bit at a time. Well, that's just weird, all right? So, like, I can't identify with that. I have a cheat day. What? I have a cheat week, all right? So that's how that works, okay? So I just can't have it, all right? So if I want to get something sweet, like we'll go out or we'll pick it up from the store, that's just me, all right? I'm just being honest. So maybe that's like a credit card for you. Like if it's with you, you're going to use it. Some of you, it's with you, you're fine, okay? You're like the people who have unhealthy food in your house, you don't need it. That's cool. But if it's a challenge for you, just don't have it with you. Just cut it up. You're fine. It'll be easier to not use it if it's not with you, okay? Cash. Try a cash system. Like an envelope system is one of Dave Ramsey's things, all right? Maybe you don't want to have 15 envelopes flying around your house, but like, what if you tried to live on cash for a few weeks? Live on cash for a month. So why is that? Well, study after study shows that we actually spend less using cash instead of credit cards. This may surprise you, but there are just as many studies that show we spend less when we use cash instead of debit cards. So it's a real thing that when you're using cash instead of cards, you're going to spend less money, okay? So I'm just challenging you. What step do you need to take to really get this thing rolling, okay? Now, I'm going to read a verse here in a second. Don't put it up on the screen because I got to set this verse up because I'm super fired up to read this verse to you, okay? You may have heard the saying, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and what? Expecting the same results, right? Okay? Definition of insanity. There's actually a proverb that kind of speaks to this idea, okay? And I first read this proverb when I was in middle school. I remember it because it grossed me out. And it was the first time I realized that something gross was in the Bible. And as a middle school student, I thought that was awesome. I thought it was really cool. And I'm gonna be honest with you, for almost 20 years as a pastor, I've been trying to find a way to work this gross verse into a sermon. I've never been able to do it until today. And I'm so excited. I get to read the grossest verse in the entire Bible to you. Are you ready? This is so exciting. My middle school self is super fired up about this, okay? Proverbs 26:11. Here it is. As a dog returns to its vomit. Yes! It's in the Bible, in the Hebrew. That's what it means, okay? As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Can you get that picture in your mind for a second? First of all, picture the dog vomiting, right? Everybody do that, okay? Now the dog walks away, but oh, no, it's a dog, and he goes back to his vomit. Does anybody need to leave, right? I've said vomit already five times. I'm just gonna keep saying it over and over. I'm really excited right now, okay? This is Proverbs' way of saying, hey, here's the definition of insanity. Keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results. It's kind of like a dog, did I say this already? Who would return to his vomit. It's like a fool repeating their folly. It's like just keep doing the same thing over and over. And today's message is hopefully like a jolt to the system. Maybe like the same kind of like, ugh, that's disgusting. What if we had the same level of disgust with what debt's doing to our lives? Robbing us from the opportunities that God has in front of us. Robbing us from better marriages. Robbing us from a life of freedom instead of a life of bondage. And for some of you today, you don't need to be grossed out about a verse in Proverbs. You kind of need to get that sick feeling about what's going on in your own household when it comes to your finances. That's called conviction, and that's okay. Conviction's a gift that all of us at times have to be convicted from God. Say, why does God convict? Is he trying to get onto me? No, he loves you. He loves you. He doesn't want you to continue down a path that's going to lead to destruction. And my challenge for you today is to just find the step. Find the step. It might be cutting up the credit cards. It might be canceling the vacation. It might be going to cash only. It might be calling a family meeting and disappointing your kids. It's okay. Because see, this is a real challenge and it's creating real problems. And the hope for us is that if we got ourselves into a mess when it comes to debt, we can begin to take steps to get us out of the mess. It may not happen overnight, that's okay. But as we take those steps and understand that the Lord comes alongside us, he supplies the strength, he reminds us that we can do this with him by our side. As we take these steps and we receive encouragement from one another, as we take these steps and we no longer let culture guide us with how we spend our money, but we let the truth of God's word guide us with the heart for contentment, we're gonna begin to experience financial freedom. And that's my prayer for you today. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? So God, that's our prayer. To experience financial freedom. God, that's our prayer, that we wouldn't live in bondage to debt. And God, for many of us, it's just a jolt to the system. It's just a way to say, I'm going in this direction and I'm gonna stop and I'm gonna start going in a new direction. God, as we do that, may you come alongside us and supply the strength. Lord, that's our prayer. We pray these things in your name, amen.